Of the Environment and Natural Resources Conference Committee, House File 3911 to order. Today is May 16th. A quorum is present. Our process today is we are going to walk through and adopt the fiscal spreadsheet that was posted this morning about 8 a.m. And then we will walk through and adopt the conference committee agreement. So I'll start with the fiscal staff to read through the fiscal spreadsheet.
Mr. Chair, I'll start with that, if that's okay. We're looking at the fiscal spreadsheet, top right corner, conference committee agreement, bottom right corner, date and time stamp, 5/15/24 at 9:02 p.m. Starting with the Pollution Control Agency, on line number 4, both the House and Senate had a $5 million carve out of last year's appropriation for the climate resiliency grants as a federal match. Line 5 is $5.5 million from the general fund for legal costs. On line 6, there's $750,000 for the climate adaptation and resiliency study. Line 7, you'll see the first two pieces for the composting grants for multifamily housing. In total, it's $593,000, of which $393,000 is from the general fund and $200,000 is from the environmental fund. On line 9, you'll see the first of two pieces for Olmsted County tire and solid waste removal. This is $400,000 from the general fund. And then on line 20, there is $150,000 from the environmental fund. Line 11 is the governor's recommendation for environmental justice areas increased capacity of $2.9 million the first year and $2.6 million per year thereafter. And this is offset in the revenues by fee recovery. On line 12, there's legal capacity for permitting and rules at $525,000 per year from the environmental fund. That is also a governor's recommendation. Line 13 was air monitoring trailer and the associated staff for that from the environmental fund of $1 million the first year and $535,000 per year thereafter. Line 14 is $319,000 one time from the environmental fund for critical materials recovery advisory task force. On line 15 and 16 are the state salt purchasing report and the nitrogen fertilizer purchasing report. These have environmental fund costs of $88,000 per year. On line 17 is PFAS and biosolid for land application report. It's $350,000 one time. On line 18, you'll see $1 million for electric lawn and snow removal equipment rebates from the environmental fund. On line 19, stationary air monitors, it would be $1,095,000 the first year and $881,000 the second year to add five additional stationary air monitors. Line 20 is the second piece of the Olmsted County tire solid waste removal I already mentioned. Line 21 is the second piece of the grants for composting. Line 22, I'll go through that in a minute, it was funded differently. In total, the direct appropriations are $7,043,000 out of the general fund and $7,815,000 out of the environmental fund for a total of direct appropriations of $14.8 million to the Pollution Control Agency. On line 28, you'll see the Packaging Waste and Cost Reduction Act. There's revenue and expenditures that are done through the special revenue account statutorily. It's approximately $1.8 million the first year, $1.5 and $1.3 in the tails. And then I'll show that in the revenues as well. On line 29 is boat wrap product stewardship. This again is a fee recovery of and the special revenue expenditure of $219 the first year, $363 the second year, and $219 per year thereafter. Going to the second page, Mr. Chair, you'll see the total with the special revenue funds is about $16.6 million. Going line 36 is the start of the DNR. The first appropriation is $1.3 million from the general fund for legal costs, $200,000 for public safety costs from the general fund. The next appropriation is a carve-out of last year's fish hatcheries appropriation. On line 41, this would be for water quality monitoring at state fish hatcheries. Line 42 is a new $1 million or $100,000 appropriation for water quality study of a real-time nitrate monitoring. The next appropriation is line 45, the unsafe ice search and rescue reimbursement. This is $200,000 from the general fund. Line 46 is $1.3 million from the general fund for the International Wolf Center improvements. Line 48 is the condemnation of trust land in Mille Lacs County. This is $750,000, and you'll see later under revenues that $650,000 of this goes into the permanent school fund. On line 49 is outreach and education. This is $500,000, of which $200,000, I believe, is competitive grants, and then $300,000 is for fishing in the neighborhoods program. you'll see in the rider language. Line 50, the No Child Left, there's a report for No Child Left Inside and associated outdoor education opportunities. This is a carve-out of last year's appropriations for the No Child Left Inside program. That's it for the general fund. Going down to line 53 through 58 is the governor's electronic licensing system implementation, and that's the associated accounts that comes out of from the Natural Resources Fund and the Game and Fish Fund. Lines 59 through 61 is $300,000 per year out of three different funds for increased compensation for conservation officers. The next appropriation you'll see is the last line on this page, the report on recreational uses of trust lands, and this is out of the forest suspense account in the permanent schools fund, and it's $417,000. Going on to page number three, there's the on line 64 is a gas production technical advisory committee. This is $768,000 one time. And then there's $2.4 million for the regulatory framework gas and oil production. And both of these are out of the minerals management account. On line 67 is a one-time appropriation of $1.5 million out of the ATV account for the ATV grant and aid program. There's $1.2 million out of the ATV account for the Prospector Loop Trail. There's on line 69 is the off-highway motorcycle ambassador. This is $20,000 per year out of the off-highway motorcycle account. On line 70, there's $400,000 for four named school recreation grants, and this is out of the fund that was created last year from the lottery in lieu for underserved communities. On line 71, there's $300,000 for grants to the zoos for climate-adapted tree species, and you'll see $150,000 later out of the Minnesota Zoo for the same thing. On line 72 is water quality monitoring at state fish hatcheries. This is the ongoing cost of the water quality monitor carve-out you saw earlier. This is for the testing piece of the Game and Fish Fund. On line 73 is community tree planting grants of $5 million out of the Heritage Enhancement Account, and there's two carve-outs of $300,000 each for St. Peter and Northfield. On line 76 is the General C.C. Andrews State Nursery Reopening Report, and so the Heritage Enhancement Account is for $200,000. On line 77 is the appropriation for the release of domestic hogs prohibited and fur farms. It's $700,000 the first year out of the Heritage Enhancement Account and $550,000 per year thereafter. Line 78 is $2 million out of the State Parks Lottery in lieu account for tree planting in state parks. The total direct appropriations for DNR on line 80 are $4.382 million, and then Natural Resources Fund is $9.2 million, Forest Suspense Account is $417,000, and Game and Fish Fund is $8.16 million. In total, direct appropriations of $22,223,000. Going on to line 87 is the first statutory appropriation. Conference committee's target was increased by $1 million in the current biennium and $2 million in the tails. So now it's $18 million total. It was $17 million, and then there's $2 million in the tails, whereas previously zero. There's $1 million per year for 8 years as a statutory appropriation for public water inventory mapping. And line 88 is the license simplification to eliminate the goose permit. Line 89 is a fur farm account, and this is related to the release of domestic hogs prohibited in fur farms. This is licensing, and there's a statutory appropriation and revenue. The next appropriations you'll see are on the next page. I guess you can say the total all funds with statutory is $23.2 million for the Department of Natural Resources. Going on to line 102 is Board of Water and Soil Resources. There's $850,000 for manure management grants out of the general fund. There's $800,000 for lawns to legumes out of the general fund. There's $300,000 for the Red River Phosphorus Management grant. And then in total is $1.95 million from the general fund. And then you'll also see there's a new statutory appropriation to Bowser on line 110 for pollinator habitat grants. And this is due to a change in the lottery in lieu account. It creates a dedicated 2.5% account that was a reduction to the Heritage Enhancement Account in. These are found in Chapter 297A.94. It'd be approximately $960,000 per year for pollinator habitat. Going on to the Metropolitan Council, line 116, there's $3.188 million for community tree grants, and there's a carve-out of $688,000 for South St. Paul, and then a general fund appropriation to Lions Levee Park Pedestrian Bridge of $437,000. Then there's two appropriations out of the Metropolitan Council Parks Lottery in Lieu account. There's $1.4 million for tree planting, and then there's $500,000 for fishing piers for Metro Parks. In total, the direct appropriation, or there's $3.6 million from the general fund, the $1.9 million from the lottery in Lieu account. In total, there's $5.5 million through the Met Council. On line 129 is the climate-adapted tree species for the Minnesota Zoo. The other ones are the Como and Duluth Zoo that I mentioned earlier. It's $150,000. In total, on line 133, the general fund appropriation is $18 million in the current biennium and $2 million in the tails. There's $7.8 million from the environmental fund, $11.3 million from the natural resources fund, $400,000 from the permanent school fund, and $8.1 million from the game and fish fund. On lines 140 through 144, you'll see the PCA revenue changes. There's the offsetting environmental justice areas increased capacity. There's an appropriation of the same amount I mentioned. Same with 143. This is the offsetting fee recovery for boat wrap product stewardship. And then on line 144 is the Packaging Waste and Cost Reduction Act. And these are the offsetting fee recovery as well. On line 146 is the revenues for Department of Natural Resources. You'll see lost revenue for the elimination of the goose permit of approximately $100,000 per year. Line 148 is a transfer into the permanent school fund of $650,000 for the condemnation of the trust land in Mille Lacs County. Line 149, there's a fee increase for off-highway motorcycles, which raises approximately $100,000 per year. And then the last one on this page is line 154, the fur farm account has approximately $8,000 per year of revenue. Going on to the last page, Mr. Chair, you'll see the top appropriation or revenue on line 156, the change to the Heritage Enhancement Account. It's a reduction from revenue that's going into the Heritage Enhancement Account. It's now going into the Pollinator Habitat Account. Line 157 is the revenues associated with the lands article. It's approximately $300,000 the first year and $67,000 in the tails. Line 159 is the one Board of Water and Soil Resources with the revenue change on line 161 for the new Pollinator Habitat Account of $960,000 per year. Total revenue changes are approximately $5.9 million in the current biennium. And then you can see on the very bottom that it's at the target of $18 million. That's all I have on the spreadsheet, Mr. Chair.
Members, are there any questions to the spreadsheet? Senator McEwen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to move the adoption of the spreadsheet that was just presented to us.
Senator McEwen has moved adoption of the Environment and Natural Resources fiscal spreadsheet. Any discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. The motion prevails. The Environment and Natural Resources fiscal spreadsheet has been adopted. Next, we will walk through the conference committee agreement, which has been posted, and the paper copy is defined as the A24-0351 amendment. Ms. Taylor and Mr. Stanley, do you want to start the walkthrough?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Stanley and I are going to go through the document that is titled Environment and Natural Resources Conference Committee Final Policy Agreement, with the timestamp of 5:16:133 a.m. The first column refers to the sections that are in the A24-0351 amendment, and then there's the House section, the original House section references, the original Senate section references, and the side-by-side page numbers for reference. So starting with the Pollution Control Article 2, the first section is a modified version of the House language regarding the negotiated settlement oversight costs and the recovery of waste heat. The next section, 2, is another section from the PCA's enforcement bill. These were identical in both bodies, and it has been included. Section 3 is another section, or actually it's a House-only section, increasing penalties. This is a modified version of the House language that's been included in the DE. Section 4 is a modified version of the PCA's injunctive relief provision from their enforcement bill. The next, Section 5, is another section from the enforcement provisions. This is as it was the same in both sides. The next three sections were not included in the DE, so I'll move to section six. This is another section from the PCA's enforcement bill, the disposition of receipts. This is actually a new provision related to that. It's mostly technical. It recodifies some language that was originally in section one and then again in section 14. Section seven of the DE is the food waste management hierarchy. This was a house only provision that has been modified. Section eight is another house only section, again modified. There's a new definition of prepared sewage sludge instead of the finished sewage sludge product definition. Section nine is a compromised version of the boat wrap stewardship program. Section 10 is the waste composition study section. These were different. The house language has been included. Section 11 is a conforming change related to the packaging reduction goal elimination. This is in as it was. Section 12 is a house only provision, the county notification of uses of CLIF money. That is in as originally proposed. Section 13 is a modified version of the House's air pollution facilities compliance protocols. And moving to the next page. Section 14 is another provision from the PCA enforcement bill with the oversight costs. This is a modified version, as is the section 15, another section. This was modified. The next section is dropped, section 16. This was a house-only provision increasing the maximum administrative penalties. This is in. Section 17 is another house-only section increasing penalties for repeat violations. This is in but has been modified. Section 18 is another section from the PC enforcement bill. This was the same on both sides and has been included. Section 19 is the state salt purchase report. This was similar on both sides. A modified version of the house has been included. Section 20 was a house-only provision, the state nitrogen fertilizer report. That has been included with a modification. Section 21 was a Senate-only provision, the resilient community assistance program. That has been included as originally proposed. Section 22, the ban on mercury-containing lighting. This was identical on both sides and has been included. Section 23 on the House side has been dropped, but it has been replaced with a rider in the DE in Article 1, and if you're curious, that's on page 4. Section 23 is the PC enforcement and or the waste heat. This is... they were different, and the House language has been included. The next section has been dropped, but you'll see later on there's some alternative language to replace that. Section 24 is the House local notification of the uses of the money in the MLCAT account. That has been included as proposed originally. Section 25 and 26 are Senate-only provisions, changing some report due dates. Those have been included as originally proposed. Section 27 is the House-only section requiring a study of land application of sewage sludge for PFAS. This is included as proposed. Section 28 is the Critical Materials Recovery Advisory Task Force. This is compromised language. Section 29 is the House's PFAS removal report modified. Section 30 is the post-closure care solid waste disposal facilities rulemaking. This was similar and the Senate version has been included. The next section was dropped. And then section 31 is the one I referred to earlier. This is the alternative to the key fob language. This would require recommendations for products containing lead, cadmium, and PFAS. Moving to page 3, section 32, this is the Senate's rulemaking on capital assistance program. That's been included as originally proposed. Section 33, this is the Senate only researching climate adaptation and resilience costs. This is included. The next section was dropped. The next section 34, this is a new revisor instruction that was related to the definition of prepared sewage sludge. And then section 35 is the repealer of the packaging waste reduction goal. This was the same on both sides and has been included. And then, Mr. Chair, Mr. Stanley will take over for Article 3.
Mr. Chair, members, good morning. Article 3 begins with Section 1. This is a Senate-only section that authorizes investment of financial assurance money from permits to mine. That's included. Section 2 is a conforming technical change that was identical between the two chambers. Section 3 is another identical provision that governs when money is transferred to the school trust land or to the permanent school fund. Section 4 is identical. It authorizes the agency to transfer or sell bison. That's included. There is a new Section 5 that repeals the requirement for county approval before adding land to SNAs in the metro only. Section 6 makes data on forest industry private data under the Data Practices Act. That's identical in both chambers. It's included. The next two sections, Section 7 and 8, relate to the release of endangered or threatened species. Section 7 was in both bills. Section 8 was Senate only. They're both included. Section 9 is the first of several community tree planting grant sections. It was House only, and it's been modified. Section 10 allows the current owner to apply for transfer of ownership of an off-highway motorcycle. That's a Senate-only provision that was included. Section 11 increases the off-highway motorcycle registration fee. That was a Senate-only item that's been included. Section 12 is a House-only item that's been included that imposes snowmobile muffler requirements. The next two sections have been dropped. Turning to page 4. Section 13 is a House-only item dealing with the planting of corn on DNR land. That's a House provision that's been modified and included. The next section has been dropped, but you'll see some reporting language a little bit later on related to that subject. Section 14 is a Senate-only provision that's been included that clarifies that the state did not cede ownership of frozen waters to the United States. Section 15 is a Senate-modified provision related to county sheriff costs for unsafe ice search and rescue. Section 16 is the Minnesota Relief Program changes provision that was in both bills but has been included here in its House-modified form. Section 17 was identical in both bills, as was Section 18, dealing with the removal of DNR seedling cap and granting the agency the authority to supply plug seedlings. Section 19 was an extension of the Minerals Coordinating Committee. That's a compromise provision that's been included. Section 20 is the Senate-only item that makes changes to the taconite iron ore special advance royalty account. Section 21 is an identical provision that allows DNR to issue leases to extract gas or oil. Section 22 is another identical provision that's been included related to gas and oil lease requirements. Section 23 is a prohibition on producing gas or oil without a permit that was in both bills. Included here is a House-modified version. Section 24, gas and oil production rulemaking, was in both bills but different, and there's a compromise provision. Section 25, gas and oil leasing, the House version has been included. Section 26, the definition of taxidermist, is identical and has been included. Sections 27, 28, 29, and 30 are identical or similar, and they relate to adding a cross-reference to some other statutes related to unlawfully taking animals. Those have all been included. Turning to page 5, Section 31 was identical in both chambers, governs taxidermist disposal of cervidae carcasses. Section 32 is a conforming change that's identical and it's been included. Sections 33 and 34 are identical and eliminate the Canada Goose permit licensure requirements. Section 35, importation of cervidae carcasses, is identical and it's been included. Section 36 is a House-only provision that's been included that authorizes possession, transportation, et cetera, of adipose tissue. Section 37 and 38 were identical between the chambers, and they authorize the creation of an apprentice trapper certification. Section 39, and I'm skipping a few that have been dropped here, but you can see on the document where that's marked. Section 39 was an identical provision, ground blind, blaze orange requirements, clarifying that those only apply to deer hunters. Section 40, landowners can retain beavers lawfully killed. This was a Senate modified provision that's been included. Section 41 and 42 deal with the notice and meeting requirements for experimental waters and special management waters. The House version of those provisions has been included. Section 43 is a House modified version of a House only provision that requires water quality monitoring at state fish hatcheries. Section 44 is trout fishing season modification that was in both bills. The House version has been included here. Sections 45 and 46 were identical between the chambers. They are included here. One expands the authority to take sturgeon and paddlefish. Section 46 it clarifies that some rulemaking authority hasn't expired. Section 47 is a House modified provision that clarifies the relationship between the public waters definition and statute and the public waters inventory. Section 48 is a new provision that goes along with Section 47. Section 49 is identical between the chambers and corrects an unintended fee change from last year. Section 50 was identical between the chambers and is another provision clarifying that rulemaking authority hasn't expired. Section 51, ensuring adequate bait supply, is a Senate-only provision that's been included in modified form here. There were a few provisions that were dropped. The next one that was included is Section 52, which is the report on recreational use of school trust lands. The House version has been included. There are two House-only provisions that have been included next, Section 53, which would require a state park license plate design contest, and Section 54, which would make the rusty-patched bumblebee an endangered species. Those have been included. Section 55, the House version of the Gas and Oil Resources Technical Advisory Committee language, has been included. Section 56 is management of Kitson Central elk herd. It's new here, but it's largely the Senate language with just a few modifications. Section 57 is the report that I alluded to earlier on outdoor opportunities for Minnesota youth. That's a new provision. It's been included. There are then a number of provisions that have been dropped. And the final section here is Section 58, which is a repealer related to the Canada Goose changes.
Mr. Chair, I can continue with Article 4. House Sections 1 and 2, these were related to the penalties for buffer violations. Those have been included as originally proposed. Section 3 is the new pollinator account that was created that you saw on the spreadsheet. Section 4 is a House-only provision making lawns to legumes data private. That has been included as originally proposed. Section 5 is another section on the enforcement of the buffer law that has been included. Section 6 is a new section. This is the lottery and loo money dedicating that 2.5% to the new pollinator account. And then the next section included was the Section 7. This is the soil health appropriations report, and that is House only, and it was included. And then Mr. Stanley can go through Article 5.
Mr. Chair, I'll cover Article 5 very quickly. This is the Packaging Waste and Cost Reduction Act, otherwise known as EPR article. The language in most of the sections has continued to be refined, and I'm not going to go through all those changes. What I will point out, though, is Section 23, which is a new section that is designed to make sure that the registration fee proceeds are put into an account, a new packaging product stewardship account. That's just to make sure that the fiscal mechanics work properly. That's the only thing I need to draw your attention to in Article 5, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, on Article 6, this is the feral swine and fur farms. What has been included in this is the entire House article with one change, which was dropping a section that had previously been adopted in Senate File 2904. might not be the right House file, but yes, it has been dropped just because it was already made law. And then Article 7, Mr. Stanley.
Mr. Chair, this is Article 7. It's on page 9 of the document we're going through. There are only two sections here. This is environmental review and permitting, also known as coordinated project plan language. This language has been modified in both cases.
Mr. Chair, now we're on to the state lands, Article 8. The first three sections were identical in both bodies and have been included here. These were from the original DNR lands bill. Section 4 is a Senate-only provision. This is providing the first right of refusal to for lands and tax-forfeited lands and Indian reservations. This is a modified version of that. Section 5 is the additions to state parks. This is same on both sides and has been included. Section 6 is the state park abolishment section. The Senate provision has been included here. The next two sections, 7 and 8, these are Aiken County provisions. The House language has been included for these. Section 9 is the Chisago County provision that was identical on both sides that has been included. Section 10 is a House-only section for Crow Wing County that has been included. Section 11 and 12 are Hubbard County provisions. They were identical and have been included. Section 13 was a Senate-only provision for Mille Lacs County that has been included. Section 14 is a Redwood County provision that has been included. It was same on both sides. Section 15 is a new provision for Redwood County, allowing Minnesota Historical Society to convey certain lands. Section 16 is a Roseau County provision that was identical on both sides and included. Section 17 and 18 are sections for St. Louis County. There were minor differences, and the House language has been included. Section 19 is the repealer, which was identical on both sides and included. And then Section 20 is the effective date. The House language has been included with a modification. And then the miscellaneous Article 9, this article includes the two provisions dealing with the conflict of interest for LCCMR members. And then Section 3 is a community tree planting grant program at the Met Council, and that has been included but was modified from the original House position. And that concludes that document.
Members, are there any questions? Senator Morrison.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that we adopt the language in the policy spreadsheet.
And direct nonpartisan staff to work with the reviser to prepare a conference committee report for signature, and direct nonpartisan staff to make any technical corrections to conform with the action and intent of the committee.
And that as well, Mr. Chair.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. Ayes have it. Motion is adopted. Senator Hur, would you like to say a few words?
Well, Senator Nelson, Senator Morrison, Senator Bowden, and Senator McCune, to take this route, pre-council route, as one of the options so that we can get our work done in a timely manner. So I really appreciate your trust, as well as, you know, our agency who's stay with us late through the evening sometime. And so this process do avoid, you know, having all members being out there, you know, agree back and forth on same and similars, and though the heavy load is on me and my staff, Carla and Michael and Cassie. I thank her a lot too as well. And so thank you for letting us having this opportunity to work behind the scene, and I don't mind the heavy load at all. It has been a pleasant situation, and I think this is a delicate balance bill. It's like a ship, you know, heading to shore now. We have many package on board. Some are good for environment. Some, you know, are a little concerning, but will be better for our state economy. And so we had to live on that delicate balance, and hopefully we get this ship to shore very, very soon. So thank you for the opportunity.
I want to thank Senator Hur. I'll go to Representative Heintzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And having so much of this bill pre-conferenced is a double-edged sword, right? There's still a lot of questions, especially that the minority will have. And so rather than having that conversation through the conference process, that doesn't really leave a lot of opportunity except for once the report comes back to the floor, right? So many are reaching out and sharing their concerns without really an opportunity, as I mentioned, to discuss it earlier. So I'm just going to quickly mention there's still a lot of questions on this public water inventory, on packaging requirements, some of the spending in the bill, some of the more regulation in the bill. And so we're going to have those conversations at some point. And, you know, even things as small as a little septic plug, which I really appreciated the Senate language. I did visit with MPCA today to try to kind of see what the issue is with trying to resolve this concern for those that are manufacturing tanks and such here in Minnesota with an adverse climate, somewhat different than what you might have in other parts of the country. And, you know, those, I think, would have been conversations better had through a typical conference committee process, which I hope that we can return to at some point. I will not be able to support the conference committee report today, but wanted to share those thoughts before we move on. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Heintzman. And I understand your concerns. I would ask you and the members of your caucus and everyone in the room to read what we just adopted. And as the nonpartisan staff are going through this, I think you'll see the words modified, 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 compromise, compromise, compromise. And so there were changes that occurred to things that passed either the House or the Senate, and working with the executive to make those things work so that they could be implementable. Not everybody's going to be happy. Not everybody's going to be happy. But as Senator Hur said, this has been a delicate balance to bring this here. I fully expect that there will be interest who will try to kill the bill. That is what happens. That's what happens here. But I would ask you to look at the whole, which we have adopted here, and nobody gets everything they want. It has very important provisions in here that have been the product of compromise, that have moved through the committee process in either the House or the Senate and have been adjusted. Almost everybody in here had something in this bill that has been changed or dropped. But others have things that have been modified, working with the Senate and with the executive. I want to thank the executive for signing off on the project, on this proposal last evening. There were items that were discussed at the highest level, higher than Senator Hur and I. And this report is the product of those efforts at compromise. And compromise is what the people of Minnesota expect us to do. And those are our clients, the people of Minnesota. So I'd ask you to take a look at it. We have several days left in the legislature. We hope to be able to get this drafted. We are asking the conference committee members to stick around so that until we can get the bill signed, if they choose to sign it. And Representative Heintzman, I respect your decision not to sign the conference committee report. That is what each of us have the opportunity to do, holding an election certificate. And that's the decision of people around the table. So, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to thank Senator Kerr particularly for listening to the concerns that I had and that people brought to you on the bill for the agreement. And I would like to identify some of those and thank you for those changes. Certainly, the shotgun only season, keeping that as it is, was a win. The land remediation for some of our counties that are facing very distressed properties now, like Geraldine Tyler settlement. So I appreciate that. I particularly appreciate the look at the NDCA's PFAS regulations and how that would have some unintentional outcomes regarding furniture manufacturers. I appreciate the step we're making there to delay, to look at how better to make sure that we don't disrupt our furniture manufacturers. That's just exempting metals that are in chairs that we're sitting in, for example, from the PFAS standard. And then I also appreciate many of the provisions that were changed regarding the mandatory EIS requirement. I appreciate that being removed. I also appreciate the modification of the form of my statement. I still have a little bit more to learn. Is that something that I'm going to be able to support for the one action? I don't know if I can exactly support that as it is. I do want to mention the two things that are still outstanding that I think are going to cause. Certainly, they caused me some concern, and I know that I don't believe the issues were totally addressed. And that has to do with the public inventory of waters. We know that that's always a concern, and it seems there's continued concern with that. And then, really, a large part of the bill seems to be the new DPR, and I would say I've heard a great deal about that, concerns about that, maybe the unintended concerns about increasing the cost of recycling. Good if we want to encourage more recycling. Of course, for the former tax chair, I would say really want to incent good behavior from producers of provide a tax credit for those who do things like recycling, maybe applies or recyclable. But there is a little bit concerned about the DPR as it is, and it hasn't been, to my knowledge, necessarily been implemented in other states yet. So we have next to learn them before we start. I want to thank you for the time, particularly Senator Kerr and your staff, who have done a good job of listening to the concerns and also addressing them.
Thank you. And I'd encourage, you know, members, if they have specific questions, particularly on the EPR, to talk to Representative Jordan and Senator Morrison. They negotiated that section, and I think taking a lot of the Senate provisions as well. So I'd encourage discussing there. I think on the, and I'm not sure, Senator Nelson, if you caught, there will be a stationary air monitor in Olmsted County as well. We were hearing from the Olmsted County members that, you know, it's important to look at air quality in the healthcare city in our state, and that we wanted to make sure that we were having that stationary air monitor to be monitoring, you know, air quality. So that, and then the tire site, which is quite stunning, you know, that to try to start to get, that's the other side of tax forfeited land, that sometimes things get dumped there by people. So hopefully for Olmsted County and Senator Bolden, that these are things that can be helpful, you know, to for you as well. Senator Herr.
Just want to add a remark. Thank you, Senator Nelson, for your supporting comments there, you know, and I just want to put on record not to make excuse for me, but I think everybody worked very hard, and I did exhaust all my options, tap into different members, even members in our conferees and member outside our conferees, reaching out to the other eyes, getting staff help to make sure that we reach some kind of compromise. And, you know, if there's a multiverse existing, whatever we go back and forth is still going to come back to the same point again. So let's not be regret of the decision that we made. So thank you.
Thank you. And questions about the public waters should go to Representative Purcell as the lead author on that. I should note, you know, it is very rare to go beyond a target and to get approval to go beyond a target. And I think that was a recognition of leadership of the House and the Senate and the executive that this is an important issue, and providing that ongoing funding of $8 million, $1 million a year for 8 years is a big deal. And that it's our intent that that would be, the science is going to be involved. We can use LIDAR mapping. The agencies can involve people in that decision making, the best available science compared to what it was 40 or 50 years ago. So that's there. I know that there are people who are unhappy. There are always people that are unhappy. I would ask them to step back and take a look at moving the ball forward in terms of trying to make progress here. And it is extraordinary to expand our target, and we were able to do that by asking, with help of some of the folks in the room, to get additional money and to make sure that we're doing the best we can. So I should just note that we have a heck of a lot of money in here for trees, and all of our communities have emerald ash borer problems, and we need to plant a lot of trees. And so our goal would be, you know, just take a look at the amount. There's over $12 million aggregate for trees. Senator Bolden.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Briefly, I want to thank both chairs and really all members of the committee for all the work that has gone into this really good bill, as well as staff. There is a whole lot of work that goes on behind the scenes that would not be possible with our amazing staff. So really want to thank them for all the work that they do. Really, as was mentioned, appreciate the resources in the bill to Olmsted County for remediation of a site, a tax forfeited site that they own that, you know, is going to require upwards of $1 million worth of cleanup and is a health and safety risk in our community. So appreciate that, as well as the air quality monitoring. There are a lot of excellent pieces in this bill that are going to make a big difference in our communities to make people more healthy and safe, and that we are protecting our environment, which is critically important. So thank you.
Representative Purcell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I will just briefly say, again, thanks, especially to the staff. And I have learned a lot through this process. And like when I tell my children, compromise sometimes means that no one is happy, and that actually is true compromise sometimes. So I have some disappointments of things that are not in the bill, particularly the outdoor school for all and the 10,000 animal units or more mandatory EIS, but intend to come back, continue the work, and I think this is a great step forward. And I just appreciate all that I have learned through the course of the last 2 years, but also through the process with the bicameral work. So thank you to both chairs and to the staff from both houses. Thank you.
Senator, can I add one last comment toward you as a partner in this, you know, as counterpart from the House, that I appreciate that you, at the end, you kept the agriculture, all the agriculture elements out from this bill, and making sure that we agree on environment policy only for this policy bill. So I really appreciate that. So thank you.
And again, I want to extend the thank you to all of the staff who often are here when we are not working to make things work and moving quickly and to get this report available. And they will be working quickly to get the report for us to sign. So I want to extend our thanks to our staff again. We would not be able to do this without you, and it is very much appreciated. With that, we are adjourned.